Hi, this is Phil Lairness, sitting alongside my wife, Lily Lairness. As we travel through the third decade of the 21st century, it's good to know that the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions continue to produce a minimum of 4 hours of weekly audio goodness on Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Why do you have that glazed expression on your face, Lil?
Too many numbers in that announcement.
After some uncertainty due to storms in New York, we are delighted to actually welcome back to the Midweek Drive the awesome musical talent that is Pamela Suman. How are you, Pamela?
I am very well, thank you.
Excellent. That's what we'd like to hear. And we've sorted out those storms, etc., because it's very critical as we welcome another ace director and indeed somebody who I know you were very excited when I said he was going to be joining us on this particular production to actually connect with this awesome soul. It is, of course, our BAFTA award-winning soul. That is Graham Harper. How are you, Graham?
Hello, old. I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Now, Graham, would you like to share with us what you made of a song which we've played quite frequently on the Midweek Drive and will continue to do so? That, of course, is Pamela Suman's Cake.
I thought Cake was absolutely extraordinary. And in fact, is it Pamela Sue?
Is that how you call me whatever you want.
Pamela Sue will do nicely. I also listened to Revenant, which, movie tracks. It's extraordinary. It's really, really, really great concept album.
Oh, thank you so very much. That means so much to me.
Oh, that's nice. It's very visual. I'm trying to think of a jazz musician that I love who made a fantastic album, which isn't like yours, but you might have listened to it because the way he uses background sounds and strange travel through a night journey, extraordinary, and yours is really, really on the same wavelength. It's a stunning piece of work.
Oh well, thank you so very much. I mean, I have to say, Graham, that I was so starstruck knowing that you were going to be on the show. But, I'm very shy, and I didn't know how to express how excited I am. So, my husband has some robots in his recording studio. And I wore this in honor of you.
Oh my God. I didn't see it. You got up quickly and went away.
Right, okay.
I shall describe it in terms of radio forms. It's a wonderful multi-dimensional Doctor Who outfit, Graham, which is echoing in all sorts of wonderful ways.
It's probably from the Hubble telescope. It's probably
Oh, it's brilliant.
And
thank
that's
you
amazing,
very much.
Graham. You've often sort of wanted to actually sort of do something which actually went straight from the Hubble telescope in all right the way to planet Earth. I mean, that's why you actually deal with Daleks on a regular basis as well, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, I did. Yes. Yeah. I didn't really become the expert though.
Oh, I don't know. Those cold winter nights in Cardiff, having to actually cope with people where you're saying, action, action, action. That's a classic line from it, remember? It's awesome.
No, I'm shy and embarrassed.
Oh, no.
My daughter was preparing for her drama juries and Jerry was in the studio producing a record. And I watched Doomsday last night, which is my favorite episode.
I'm just intrigued, Pamela. Yeah. Again, it's radio, but this image that you felt you had to send across to my good self, which obviously focuses on the joys of, I presume that's a young Pamela Suman doing her work.
That's my daughter. It's my daughter, Faye. And she's an actress. You know, she started when she was four years old. She started modeling at 6 months old, and she started in her first commercial at four. And of course, Jerry and I are musicians, so she didn't want to have anything to do with music at all, and went straight for drama. And there's an amazing Shakespeare company upstate New York, which she joined when she was seven. So, and they're working on a production. They're having this production live, which is fantastic, with an audience out at this place called the Little Globe that they built, and we're very excited. So,
Pamela, thinking it was a younger version of yourself, and in fact it's your daughter, but wearing, of course, with John, Paul, George and Ringo in the background there, the TARDIS bubble hat, which I think actually, Graham, you should have a TARDIS bubble hat as well, really. Did they never provide you with that?
I haven't got one. I want one. I want one.
Well, Graham, I'll have to send you. Jerry made one year for Faye as a Halloween costume. A TARDIS that was actually probably about 3 feet high around her with a blue like a siren light on it.
Yes, I want it. How brilliant.
We had it for the longest time. It wound up being a laundry basket. And then we just finally had to retire it because there was no place for it. But it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, that would be brilliant. Your daughter is standing in front of a huge picture of the Beatles. And strange enough, when I was listening to the Revenant, I just said ghostly hints of Kate Bush and the Beatles when they used to Paul McCartney used to do lots of reverse feedback and all sorts of strange things of reversing sounds. So they became gobbledygooky, absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah. And I think back in the day when they did that, they really went through a process that I'm sure you know. I mean, it was not an easy thing to create all of these effects. Now there's something called Pro Tools, so it's a hack and it's a cheat, and you can actually do it. I've learned a lot from Jerry because my husband Jerry Leonard does a lot of that. He's a guitarist, but you can actually do it in Pro Tools. You can reverse things, and I just such a fan of sculpting sound through whatever medium I could get my hands on and understand. And I just thought it was so fascinating. For me, music has become more and more and more visual. The more I do it, the longer I do it, I see it. And I think of images when I write lyrics and stories. It's very visual to me.
Yeah, well, no, I hear that in the music. You can see it's very, very visual, definitely.
Talking about visual things... We have indeed been joined by somebody who I like to see basically as the guardian for Pamela Sue Mann, because basically Jessica's been with us on every Pamela Sue Mann approach so far since the off, and welcome back, Jessica, after our little trip to the Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. Of course, it proves that we're still standing and we haven't taken that aircraft flight, so that's good. We've also got, talking about directors, and I've got a shot of obviously Graham, you on the set there with both Peter Davison and David Tennant, looking quite bemused, I think, there, basically. Yes. Graham, you're paying no attention whatsoever to what those guys are doing, and you're just mostly focusing on
I'm probably saying, Gord, what's going on here?
Yeah, which is pretty much what I say every time I actually listen to Chilpack Hollywood Hour. What is going on here? It's Phil Lewis back with us again from Los Angeles, who didn't actually have any storms to actually deal with, as far as I can gather. But how are you, Phil?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that I showed up almost on time, because I am working on a hush-hush branding project. I sometimes lend my talents to corporations to rebrand, help them with their rebranding. And everybody thinks what they do is top secret. This actually is what all of us would define as top secret. So top secret that on a phone conversation with one of my contacts, the call literally dropped out through the information that was not need to know, and then came back in for what was need to know. But anyway, Alex, you have already, just in that introduction, given me three potential names for their weapon system. Oh, did I say weapon system? but I must say, I the first thing I heard was reverse feedback. I love the phrase reverse feedback. It sounds like what I'm supposed to give when someone has given me feedback, and then I tell them how I feel about their feedback towards me. But I love that Pamela is thinking, what did she say? Visually, when working musically, one of the what I took to be the highest compliments I ever received as a cinematographer was someone said that I think musically when I am photographing things. And I thought, what a compliment, what a high compliment to receive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And after all, right, it's all energetic within the spectrum. It's all in the light spectrum. It's different frequencies of the light spectrum. So.
And as we also said, Pamela, you got in Phil Learness one of the biggest fans of David Lynch that you could ever wish for. So the fact that your last video was, I think, described by Jessica and yet other colleagues as being Lynch-esque is also nice when it comes to cake.
I said that. I said that about her thing. That was me. And I know it was me. And I know it was me because I was there when I said it.
There you are.
I think I can just die now because I'm so happy.
Please don't. Please don't. That would be such a just buzzkill if that happened.
I promise it won't happen right now. I mean, and I have no plans. But I feel that, you know, you do what you do, correct? You try and do what you do to the best of your abilities, and everything that we soak up through our antenna, we bring into our work, you know, our lives, our sublimation, as we were speaking about. And you don't know how it's going to come out, everything you learn, everything you experience. And for me, I fell in love with a lot of French cinema, even though I didn't understand it, just because they're using so many different mediums. Like the art forms always use one more than one. It's not just sonic, it's visual, it's poetic, it's so many ways to express yourself through the cousins of art forms, different art forms. So I just feel like it enhances everything. I mean, Graham, you know, that's when you're putting across a whole picture of something. I mean, I have not much knowledge at all of the discipline of filmmaking, and however, I do know that it's on so many different planes. You know, you've got musical elements, you've got composition, you've got storytelling, you've got language, you've got visuals and sound. It's all there, and it's all making this experience heightened in every way.
It's interesting because when I listen to La Riviere. Or La Riviera or La Riviere?
I could attempt to pronounce it very incorrectly, but I will, because I'm shameless. La Riviere.
Oh, it's perfect. That's the one. So when I listened to that, it made me think of people like Antonioni the French directors, the new waves of the 60s. Who would have loved to have had you and write that kind of music for their movies. It was very, very evocative of that period.
Oh my goodness, thank you. That would be the new wave period, yeah? That was the new wave period.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I suppose, you know, maybe I was coming up a lot in that area, didn't really understand it, but I got my first keyboards and not that long after they graduated from the ARP to the more, you know, circuitry and everything within the keyboards, like the Juno 106 and all the great Roland keyboards. And expressing sound, like I loved new wave music because it really did, it broke everything down into very interesting, strong sounds that to me were like little characters. And they would play these simple little parts, like just three notes or four notes, like a band like Kraftwerk or a band like Yazoo, you know, would come and to me, as you know, as a small child, I would hear these sounds and these parts, and I would almost imagine them as little characters entering in to the story, saying what they wanted to say and then leaving. So I think it's and I think Phil, you would definitely say this much better than I am about to say it, but agree that it's almost like you're plugging a cord or a lead, you're plugging it into some crazy circuitry. You're plugging it in, you're plugging into something that intellectually you might even not know, but you're plugging into something that is going on. And as an artist, your output is somehow tapping into that.
I would love to know what comes first. Do the words come first and then you create the music around the words, or do you have music and then you write a poem to fit that music, that the music inspires you? How does that work?
Well, you know what, Graham? My answer that came instinctually when you asked me that question was a feeling. It's a feeling. It starts with a feeling, you know, like very selfishly, perhaps, you know, I'm feeling kind of sad, you know, or I'm feeling melancholy, or I'm feeling something. So that feeling is like the pearl. It's and then words come. So you know, as a poetry or a line or a haiku or something comes in. Sometimes, a few times, the song is just, I just have to sit and write it, and there it is.
And that's pretty much how we run with the midweek drive. It's pretty much how we run with the midweek drive. We have that focus and we work through that. Phil might have actually noted that we've changed our backdrop to go back in time to May 2012.
Oh,
May 2012, when indeed Phil Learness was in the Siren Radio studios that only Graham and Jessica have actually, and myself, have actually had that privilege of being pre-pandemic. And of course, our latest guest, which I know, Phil, you were very excited when I actually said, we may well have a return of another one of that particular format there. Would you like to formally introduce our very own snickerdoodle in your own unique way?
That was how I described her, right? Look at that photo of all of us in 2012. We were all so much younger then. And not only that, we knew we were younger and we relished in our youth. Welcome back to the show. If my information is correct, it's for the first time in 5 years. And if it's incorrect, someone's getting fired. Welcome to the snickerdoodle, Hannah O'Brien. Hannah, how are you?
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back. How are you all?
Very, very good.
Exactly. I'll do the formal introductions. Hannah, can I introduce you to Pamela Sue Mann and Jessica Burtis, who some might say is kind of North Carolina's answer to Hannah O'Brien. I know such a thing could not be possible, but there we are. Jessica, of course, when that photograph was taken, I think you were probably in junior school, probably.
Yeah, I would have been like 12 in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Bit time ago, yeah.
Hannah, if I remember correctly, was a journalism student, is that correct?
I was, yes, correct.
That's where you learned the skills of participating in a Zoom while driving, which you're demonstrating to us right now.
I'm safely pulled over. I'm not driving. Some technical issues at home. The internet has gone, so I had to drive to a spot where I've got some decent cell signal.
Where are you?
I'm pulled over on a road in Gloucester.
Oh, lovely. Oh, smashing place.
Yeah, it says it all, basically.
Hannah, you are is it marketing, is it PR? You're changing the world through one of those means. What is it that you're doing?
So currently I work in Insights, which is very marketing kind of focused. And I'm working on behalf of some very large food and drink brands to help their sales within the UK market.
How did the journalism degree help you with that?
I would say communication in journalism and writing skills certainly helped. It seems like a strange jump to make, but actually when you sit down and compare them, you do have quite a lot of interchangeable skills there.
Yeah, and not a strange jump at all if you're at all interested in earning a living.
I mean, yeah, it's great for having a job.
So let's turn to Jessica for a moment. Jessica, would you like to throw a team question out there? I mean, you can allude to, do people have a happy place? Because we're doing a feature with the National Lottery funding for happy places shortly. You can do anything you wish. Jessica, take that North Carolina lead and go either to Pamela in New York, Phil Learness in Los Angeles, Graham in Acton, and Hannah, of course, glamorous as ever, pulled over in a road in Gloucester. It just shows we've pushed this to a whole new level, Hannah. Off you go, Jessica.
So excited. I love group questions. Also, side note, Hannah, I love your pink hair. It's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very cool color. So I'm curious, on the note of just happy, what are everyone's like plans now that it's June? What's going to keep you guys kind of happy? Any new projects that everyone's working on?
Apart from Phil, of course, obviously can't talk about because they're top secret. Pamela, How are you progressing? How you've actually moved to upstate New York?
So I'm in the process I'm saying this. I have to not think of the fact that Graham's here because.
I know you. Listen, when Hannah first was introduced, just our telephone link to Graham Harper, it was very exciting then as well. So it's all good.
So we're making a video, and I'm working with a young filmmaker who is just going into NYU film school, which in the States is a big deal. It's hard to get into, and he's been homeschooling, and he's been making these little films with this. Coterie of people, and one of them being my daughter, and he's got this group that he's made these films with, and now he's homeschooled and had his film study as his main study. It's pretty phenomenal, and he's gotten things in film festivals, and he's so brilliant, and his parents travel with him to China and Russia, and he studies history and every subject you could imagine, and he's just, for a nearly 18-year-old, he's pretty phenomenal. So I'm really super fortunate to work with him. And so he did the cake video with me, which I'm not sure who saw, but he's done a few now. We're embarking on another one.
He sounds like the 21st century answer to Phil Lynas and Graham Harper put together. I mean, it's amazing. You know, just shows.
This time we're gonna animate some line drawings from a very talented friend who does these crazy line drawings. And we're gonna put together this interesting little film at for no budget for a song called Ouch, which hopefully you'll be hearing on the radio in time to come.
In a matter of moments, actually, Hannah. That's the joy of the whole sort of post-production side of things. Graham.
So I'm not working at the moment, but I'm doing, many years ago, when I first started directing, a producer I was working with, I didn't know him. I didn't know at the time, but he was a Second World War Spitfire pilot set in Malta. And he asked me to read a book, which I'm not going to tell you about because it's also secret. He asked me to read a book. And I read this book. It was really interesting, very exciting, about a particular person. I said, are you thinking... I presume you're thinking of trying to sell this and make a production, a drama out of it. He said, yes. And we were at the BBC at the time, and they were not interested in the projects at all. This is in the 80s. And so it's lain, the producer's long gone, and it's lain in my brain for all these years. And suddenly, 2 weeks ago, I suddenly thought about this project, talked to a friend of mine who's a writer, and we're developing it. So we'll just see what happens. That's it.
Fantastic. That sounds so interesting. I know it's top secret, but I'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, I hope you'll see it.
Project-wise.
Hannah's project-wise, her next stage. It's the journalism side of things. Which food should we be eating, Hannah? Which brand should we be going for?
Oh, well, it's all about peanut butter for me at the moment. So all the baking with peanut butter, the smoothies with peanut butter, that's the area that I'm focusing on. Particularly the brand that I work on at the moment, it's called Meridian. It's a 100% natural peanut butter. It's great stuff, really nice. But I've only just started really working on that one, so I haven't got an awful lot of insight to share with you at the moment.
Oh, sell the peanut butter. Sell it to us.
Outside.
Please sell it. I want to eat this peanut butter. What's so good about it?
Well, it contains butter. No palm oil, so it's very sustainable, environmentally friendly, but it's also very good for you because it's 100% nuts. It's not got any nasty additives.
Could almost be a subtext for some of our early midweek drives. Almost 100% nuts, but that's by the by. Anything you'd like to share with us other than, of course, not only the joyous weekly Chill Pack Hollywood Hour and the equally wonderful semi-regular Los Angeles Breakfast Club, but any other sort of factors you'd like to bring out there?
My happy place. That's an interesting question. You know, I have realized now that if every day I create and every day I connect with someone or someone's for purposes other than promotion or selling, just connecting with people. If every day I exercise, every day I study, and every day I play, then if I accomplish all that in a day wherever I am, that's my happy place.
Oh, lucky. It's lovely.
Yeah. There we are. You know, it's clearly, it's what I love about Pamela, because she actually brings in sort of silent captions for radio production. When this goes
and wrong, that little image she held up just then was a music straight to my heart.
Yeah. Yes. And I think 5 exclamation marks, which is awesome. Pamela, as you said, big Doctor Who fan. Chance for you now to throw any questions you like about Graham's directorial time on Doctor Who, etc. Go for it.
Wait. We need to hear. Jessica has to answer her own question.
Jessica. Oh, thank God. Okay.
It's not the most exciting thing, but right now I'm trying to just find a job to make some money and get some experience. So I'm trying to see if I can find something to incorporate English or communications. But it's kind of hard finding entry level. I'll search for entry level jobs and then it'll say like entry level necessary 2 years of experience. And I'm like, that's not what I searched for, but one day. So Hannah reminded me, I miss this is so random, but I miss the peanut butter so bad in England. I really miss the Morrison's peanut butter. And I'm so bizarre. I ate like 10 jars of it in 2 months when I was staying at Lincoln. Like, my roommates could see all these glass jars of Morrison's peanut butter and they were like, is Jessica okay? Like, she's eating a lot of peanut butter. But yeah, it just reminded me.
I love the phrase tears of experience, because honestly, almost all experience leads to tears.
Yes. Yeah. We should actually get a campaign together, Hannah. You should actually get some peanut butter sent over to Jessica Bortus. So yeah, help these drivettes in need. They need their peanut butter.
I'll see what samples I can sort out for you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Me as well.
Yeah, you can tell, Hannah, since we've switched onto a Zoom format for the midweek drive, we've just been shamelessly promotional heavy, but it's all great. Pamela, over to yourself. Time for those questions for Graham.
You know the dream where the teacher calls upon you and it's your turn and your mind goes blank and you don't, you're like,
I'm glad.
there's so much to ask. I mean, okay, here's something just again. As I was watching the end of Doomsday, and everyone I know, it's one of their favorites because it's so absolutely heartbreaking that, you know, Rose is alive, but she's alive in another a parallel universe. She can't get to the Doctor, and he's her, the love of her many lives, you know, and he loves her and never even gets. Is this a spoiler? Does it matter?
No.
It's even before 2012, so we're okay.
He can't, you know, he never even gets to say I love you to her. She never hears it. And it's so very, very, very heartbreaking. So I actually geekishly listened to an Apple podcast of you speaking. And it was, first of all, brilliant what you said to young directors and brilliant what you said to young actors about with the actors, basically, no matter what you do, it's always important when you meet someone. And I told my daughter that. She's like, yeah, I know. <She's> but you know how it's, this is an aside, but basically how really important it is when you meet someone. They might not be able to use you on something, but they know that you're right for something in the future and they just can't tell you, but to just do your best and bring your best to it. The second thing was, you know, to directors, how you, the way that you learned this back in the day where you really had to know your stuff and write everything down and know your camera shots and everything, that encouraging young people today to really, really know their stuff and learn everything that they can bring to the project. I really appreciated that. Going to the question of those guys, how do you get those scenes that are so poignant? I mean, obviously you had much more time in the second series and much more budget to go through and get these moments as you did the first time around. But how on earth? I mean, these performances and the visuals and everything that go along with them. Billy Piper on the beach, and then the doctor the moment before he meets Donna in the TARDIS. Like, does it take a really long time to get these moments?
Oh, here we go.
Question. Take a really long time to get to the.
The problem today, well, it's not a problem because that's what we do. So I embrace it now. But we don't rehearse anymore, at least not in English television. We don't have big rehearsal periods. You might get lucky to have a read through. You might get lucky on some big productions to have a couple of days with the artist just to go through scenes and discuss motivation, whatever. But very rarely. So really, you have maybe 5 or 10 minutes because there's a first going on the sand in that case, saying, wake up, we need to show the crew and get moving. So you need to know something about what you're going to try and achieve to get out of the production of this scene. Hopefully you all come together with the same emotional impact that you require from the scene and the actors want to give you. I am a true collaborator with both crew and but certainly with actors. I don't tell them what to do and what I want and what it's got to be. I will say what the scene's about. And in that scene, you didn't need to tell anybody what the scene's about. It was so emotional. And so the problem with it was that we were doing it in the middle of a series. So that was the end. That was the last episode of the series. We did it as block, if there were 6 blocks of 2 episodes, then that was block 3. So right in the middle, she had to go, and he, they both had to create this fantastically deep emotional pull from each other. But fortunately, that was based on at least 3 years for Billy, but 2 years for the doc and her to, and they really got on well. They really learned about each other and knew each other very well. And they liked each other. So it was very, very, I always remember going to the, I'm going to get off this very quickly, but I went to the caravan, the makeup caravan at 7:30 in the morning. It was, we were going to turn over at 8. And I said to the two of them, right, what I need to know, because normally the etiquette is you go, when you get to the close-up work, you go with the lady first. That's the etiquette of cinema making. So I said, what do you want to do in this instance? Would you prefer, Billy, that I do cover David first? So we'll do the wide shots or whatever. When we come to the close-up work, should I do David first? And meaning offering her the chance to, because maybe she wanted to build up to it. And she said, no. Do me first. And you get 2 goes, Graham. That's all I'll be. I will be cried out. I promise you I'm going to go even talking about it. And I said, okay, fine. I didn't discuss how we were going to do it. We got onto the set, which was a big beach, and I told them briefly what I wanted to shoot, the kind of shots I was going to get. But I left it to them. I didn't say, oh, and I want the biggest moment out of life. I left them to offer what they were going to do. Oh, wow. I mean, it was difficult to know really how to cover it. In fact, I just covered it really, really simply. It wasn't clever, Dick. It was as simple as possible because all the work was them.
Wow, that's that. And you just captured the honesty.
Yes. And she, the first take, hair got all her, and also her nose was running. Everything was wrong. And it was just the most fantastic performance. But she did it again. Oh, wow. It was exactly the same. It was stunning.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And it's really a lesson for so many people to just, as you say, collaborate, because it's not about who owns what and who's, you know, like in the podcast I heard, you know, director by committee. I love collaborating. Like, it's my favorite thing to do. And I've had actually, people and friends tell me, why do you, you look to too many people for too many things. But to me, the spirit and the beauty of everything, like the making of the cake video, was just all these brilliant young people. I'm not including myself among them because No, and they just brought to it. I just wanted them to bring to it their magic and their vision. And to me, that's the most exciting thing in the world, because you've got something so much bigger than one person.
Yeah.
It's just bringing that, and you allow them to do what they do and just capture it.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree.
Thank you.
There we are. Overwhelmed, which is great stuff there. Jessica, do you remember that particular scene?
I do. I think the emotion that you're both talking about is extremely true, especially with this scene, because even before I became a fan of Doctor Who, I saw that episode and the emotion was so strong and the bond between the characters was so strong that I was emotional and I had not really watched the show before that. So I think it's so true what you're both saying, how, you know, like the camera was working with the characters, and seeing that kind of collaboration was very interesting. Like two different forms of art just coming together to make emotion. So it's very beautiful to hear you both talk about.
It reminded me of the time Hannah O'Brien left the Midweek Drive studios back in 2014, actually. It was heartbreaking then, but still, she's back with us now. That's the important thing. Hasn't gone into a different dimension, although it is Gloucester. What the hey? Phil.
Why has it been 5 years, Hannah? This is what I want to know.
I don't know, to be honest. Time has just flown by.
Even in a pandemic, honestly, time, even in the 15 months of a pandemic, time has flown by. Is that true?
It really has. I don't think I've ever been busier than during this pandemic. I'm not sure how, but
it's all the peanut butter, Hannah. All the peanut
various
butter.
Various different foods. That would be it. Different Zooms every single night. It has been, I think I've had more of a social life during the pandemic than ever before.
There we are,
but, you know, that's one of the things. It's a miracle of Zoom, but it is also a drawback. There's no escape almost from social media, from cameras. You always have to be switched on now.
Much like the Midweek Drive has ever been, but there we are.
I don't know if everyone else has felt the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. No, go ahead.
It's just good. We are reaching the time where we are on that metaphorical beach, and I do need to actually ask Phil Leonis to throw the last two questions in your 2012 manner to the rest of the team. Over to you, Phil.
All right. We'll start with Graham. Graham, what show made you feel the way that you imagine Doctor Who fans feel about Doctor Who? What show made you feel that way when you were young, perhaps?
You mean what program, a different kind of program?
Yeah, when you were coming of age, what opened you with wonder and awe the way that Doctor Who opens successive generations?
You'll laugh, really, but only because because there were some pretty interesting things. The Prisoner, strange enough.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Nothing strange about that at all. See, we're simpatico. All right, Graham, can I look forward to seeing you again in the very near future?
Oh, yeah, and we must talk more as well. Yes, please.
Where do I go next? Hannah, have you enjoyed your return to the Midweek Drive?
It has been absolutely a joy. I hope that I'm invited back very soon.
5 years are going to go by like nothing at all, and we'll see you again. We eagerly anticipate finding out what hair color you have then. Jessica Burtis, did you enjoy your link with us here today?
Of course, as always.
And can we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future?
Yes, please.
Pamela, have you enjoyed today's connection on the Midweek Drive?
Again, I don't want to leave. I don't know what I'm going to do after, you know. I'll just have to go to the piano and just start banging away because...
we're not saying you have to leave. We're just saying you can't stay here. That's all we're saying. Will we see you again soon?
Still, you know, mind-boggling. At, you know, last time was my first experience with you. and so now I'm like, okay, get ready to have your mind blown by something that's going to come out of his mouth.
We look forward to blowing your mind again soon. Alex, back to you.
Well, got to blow through the dot. You, has it been good for you today, Phil Leonis?
It has been unreasonably enjoyable.
Excellent. We are going out with Ouch, which Pamela will introduce for us. But for the moment, Graham Harper, Hannah O'Brien, Phil Leonis, back with us shortly, of course, Phil.
Of course.
And Jessica Burtis.
I've got nowhere else to go.
Peanut butter will be developed. So, Pamela, would you like to kindly introduce yourself singing Ouch?
I love peanut butter, but just when you eat way, way, way too much peanut butter to the point where it's stuck to the roof of your mouth and so is your tongue and you can't, you know, that moment where it feels painful? Let me introduce this next song called Ouch.
Gardens, the Eden Project, Snowdonia National Park, Loch Lomond. What do they have in common? Well, they've all been listed in the top 10 happy places in the United Kingdom. And to actually talk us through this and indeed a number of other key things in terms of actually having our own personalised happy place within the whole system, etc., we're delighted to welcome from the National Lottery Heritage Fund the Chief Executive Officer of the aforementioned National Lottery Heritage Fund and indeed Chair of the National Lottery Forum. It's Roz Kerslake. How are you, Roz?
Hello, I'm very pleased to be here.
Excellent. Now, I sort of will avoid the notion that we don't get any real mention for Skegness or Mapplethorpe or indeed some of our other fine Lincolnshire sort of venues in terms of happy places, the cathedral, of course. But I can understand, actually, in certain instances, maybe it's getting back to nature, which puts Kew Gardens at number one in terms of people's happy places to go to and places that we've actually missed visiting during lockdown.
We have, haven't we? And I think, you know, people have happy places that are near to them, that are very personal to them, like their, you know, their back garden or their local park or something like that. But this is about those sort of big iconic places that, that people remember, you know, their special visits, their days out. And I think that's what makes it very important to them and why they call them their happy places. And what I thought was lovely from the research that we did is that more than half of them said that they were happy places because they had a link to their childhood. So this is somewhere that people have been with their parents or with a school trip, and it's left a lasting impression on them. And many of them say they would love then to take their own children so that they can enjoy it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Very London-centric, though, insofar as we've got the British Museum, the National History Museum, and, of course, Kew Gardens are all in London. And then we've got Stonehenge and the Eden Project as well. I mean, where are the delights of the North in this one? I'm surprised at that.
Well, these are the ones that sort of strike the biggest chord. Obviously, there are amazing places in the North of England that people do value and will, you know, would score with them. But this is about the ones that are you know, have a sort of national impact. And I guess, you know, London is the capital. It's not that surprising that several of them are in London.
Now, looking at the whole notion of the National Lottery with respect to this, of course, just share with us, Roz, in terms of how National Lottery funding can actually really help visitors being welcomed back, etc. And what it means for those kind of connections with, obviously, the National Lottery behind them as well.
So the National Lottery is funded by the fact that people play in the National Lottery and that they buy tickets every week. And £30 million is raised for good causes every single week because of everybody playing the lottery. And I play myself. And I think one of the things that obviously we all hope we're going to be that big winner. You know, that's why we play it. But also there is a benefit that people get that you know, I'll say to people, you're a winner anyway, because the investment that comes from that 30 million has made everybody's lives better in some way or another. It's not just about funding for heritage, which is my particular area. It's about funding for the arts, for community, for sport, and of course things like our national sportsmen and women through the Olympics. UK Sport invests in all of those, and that actually makes us all feel a lot better, I think, when we see the successes they've achieved at the Olympics and the Paralympics.
Now, as we look towards the 5th to the 13th of June and begin to actually head into the British summer, a number of sort of key things are coming up, including, of course, the National Lottery Cinema Weekend, which you're setting up with in partnership with the BFI. That's towards the end of June, of course, on Saturday the 19th and the 20th of June at around 500 cinema sites across the UK. Presumably, we're hoping that good weather will be there, then.
Yes, particularly for the National Lottery Open Week. So the Open Week, as you say, runs from the 5th to the 13th of June, and that's venues across the UK which are opening up to allow people either free access or some sort of discount or a special offer. And all the information about that is on a website called nationallotteryunlocked.com. And then on the weekend of the 19th to the 20th, there are 200,000 cinema tickets which are available to lottery players. And you just need to go onto the website, same website, nationallotteryunlocked.com, from the 16th of June and grab your ticket.
Which can only be a winner, and in which case everybody will be a winner from that point of view. It's called, of course, A Ticket to Your Happy Place, and it does include galleries and museums, castles and gardens, sports stadia, nature reserves, etc. I can see this becoming an annual event, Roz. I mean, is that something we should think about? It's a case of no, we've just got one pandemic, so we're just going to have one event to welcome people back.
No, it is very much an annual event. We think it's really important to thank National Lottery players every year. This year is just particularly special because of the pandemic. It's, you know, it is a moment to say we're open again. You know, here's a ticket to your happy place, and to give people that opportunity to come back again and see what is on offer through these different things that, as I say, set out on the website. You know, we would not be able to fund them without the support that we get from National Lottery players. So it is very much about that opportunity to say thank you.
And following on from that, I see that photographer Tom Oldham has also captured a portrait series of sporting stars such as Nicola Adams and John Barnes having their happy places as well, which looks as though it adds to the arts and heritage aspect of the whole field.
Indeed, and also British swimmer and Olympic hopeful Daniel Jervis. So it's great to try and capture these sort of moments in time, really, these series of photographs that that capture both these celebrities and more locally important people going back to something that is a happy place for them. And there's a whole series of photographs that have been put together.
And in terms of actually where people should actually go to find out further details, would you suggest lotterygoodcauses.org.uk would be the best starting off point?
No, there's a special website for it. So go to nationallotteryunlocked.com, which will give you the information. It's a really simple to use website. You can put in your local area, or you can say you want to look at national offers. It will tell you what's available. It will tell you when it's open specifically between the 5th and the 13th of June. As I say, not everything is open every day. It will tell you what the offer is. And in order to get in or to take advantage of that offer, you just need to take along a lottery ticket. It doesn't have to be that day. It can be, you know, one that you've bought in the past. Or if you play online, as I do, you just take along your phone to demonstrate that you are a lottery player.
There you are. Indeed, I've gone to that
National
website.
Lottery.
Exactly. Gone to that website now, and you see your National Lottery ticket unlocks fun stuff this June, and you've got a choice between the National Lottery Open Week or indeed the National Lottery Cinema Weekend. So all great stuff as far as that's actually concerned. Roz, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today, and indeed some of the excellent work that continues to be done by, of course, the National Lottery. We've got two final questions for you. They are kind of customer satisfaction ones. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
I have indeed. Enjoyed
Excellent.
It very much.
So therefore, can we look forward to connecting with you again, hopefully in the not too distant future? Will you return?
Absolutely.
Roz Kerslake, CEO of the National Lottery Heritage Fund. Keep on keeping on and keep on playing, Roz.
Thank you.